Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Love Rules. Today's message, the gentle imperative. And our text is from the book of Revelation, the last word from the book. 22 chapter, 20 verse. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. He who testifies to these things, that's Jesus. Jesus says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible is made up of two basic instructions. Go, that would be the law, the Old Testament, the commandments, and come. That is the appeal, the call, the invitation of Jesus Christ, and it is the gentlest imperative, tender but necessary. Both instructions have power behind them, but there is an intimacy in the term come. We pause for a unique impact on our senses, a glimpse, a touch, a word from a God of particularity, a God who will not only lead his people through eternity, but who can help us in the here and now. Come, Lord Jesus. The prophets predicted the Messiah would come from the line of Abraham and the line of David. He would come to change the world and to save us from our sins. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I think of Mary sitting there in that little nowhere corner of that little nowhere place called Nazareth, and suddenly an angel appears. And that is shocking enough, but the angel tells Mary she will conceive and give birth to a son. And Mary asks, how can that be, since I'm a virgin? The angel responds, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Most High God, Adonai, El Shaddai, will use me to build this kingdom. That is beyond anything Mary could ask or imagine. So she waits in obedience. She waits in awe and wonder. Come, Lord Jesus, come. You know, you don't hear much about wonder anymore, not in the 21st century. This is an era of knowledge and reason, and we know it all. We can explain anything. There's an answer for everything. But I think that's exactly why we need to meditate on this experience, this participation of anticipation of Jesus Christ. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Imagine what that little girl must have felt way back then, some 2,000 plus years ago, thinking about the possibilities that suddenly she was pregnant with. Imagine the shift in her heart. Those dark spaces that may have been filled with doubt and fear are now shining with eagerness and certainty. The wonder of it all, imagining, looking forward, imagination into the future. We need more wonder in our day-to-day lives, the element of delight and amazement caused by the expectation of something beautiful. We need to be more in awe of the God we serve, because the God we serve is a God of surprises who brings the unexpected, the inexplicable. You know, I believe that was the experience of Mary. And as we enter into this season of hope and joy, I want us to think about that, because a lot of people are down these days. A lot of people have felt like things are not going their way. But I want you to remember that God is still in the miracle-making business. God, who is sovereign over all of this universe, is still able to turn anything around. If he could turn Mary's life upside down, he can certainly turn our lives upside down. He's able to turn one dull and colorless life into a star shower of expectation. Mary, you're going to have a baby, girl. You are pregnant with potential. anything can happen. Nothing is impossible with God. Come, Lord Jesus, come. You know, science has advanced in amazing ways in what is called assisted reproductive technology. Those are a number of methods used to achieve pregnancy by artificial means: in vitro fertilization, egg donation, sperm donation, surrogacy. But the dynamics underlying the science have not been duplicated or even revealed. No matter what discoveries or inventions we have come up with, the core of creation is still a great mystery. It belongs to God. What makes that personality unique? What makes those little eyes sparkle? What gives this individual, this brand new human being, a certain spirit? That belongs to God. As a matter of fact, the scientist who led the first efforts to map out the human genome, the DNA of our species, he's a geneticist. I don't know if you've read him, but his name is Francis Collins, and I highly recommend his writings. He writes that the work left him even more humbled and awed in catching a tiny glimpse of God's language. No matter what scientists tell you, creation belongs to God. That is the wonder and the awe inspiring mystery. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I am so thankful you've joined us today. Remember, Love Rules is totally listener supported. Won't you make a donation right now to keep this program on the air? Log on to RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org and click on Giving. That's RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org. Click on Giving. Thank you. God bless you. Now, we've been talking about the wonder of creation and the awe that comes in worshiping our Lord Jesus. We are not spectators, however. We enter in and participate in creation. It's not ours. This conversation between man and God that has been going on throughout history was started by God, because the whole world belongs to God. And it's easy to lose sight of that because, you know, you hear politicians and you hear business people and you hear all kinds of people talk as though the world belongs to them. But remember this, the world belongs to God. It will never be ours, no matter how far science goes, no matter how far technology or our political aspirations take us. God stands above and behind all creation. Our responsibility is to be aware of that, to respect that, and to be grateful. And so we should search out the gifts of creation around us. I'm always moved to tears during the baptism of a baby. And in the Presbyterian tradition, babies are baptized because of God's grace. We believe that God knew us before we know God. So baptism can take place for a baby. But when I see these little babies brought to the altar by their parents, I'm just in awe. What a gift to the world. Our children are God's gifts, no matter how we cut it. And then when I hear about abuse of children, I cry also. It seems that we have forgotten how special our children are, and we don't treat them right. We abuse them, we neglect them, and they are not just the future. They are God now. God came as a baby. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And so I suggest that one way to remember this gentle imperative is to worship God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. This is why worship is so important. The worship on Sunday mornings, the worship of the holiday seasons, but not just that. As Christians, we are called to worship God with our lives. That's giving God our best. God gives us so much that we don't deserve and we don't even expect. The least we can do is try to give God our best in everything that we do. Think about the gifts that the Magi brought, the gold, the incense, the myrrh. They were not just a matter of quantity. Those gifts represented the best that those people could think of to give to the Christ child. God doesn't want your mediocrity, not in anything you do. God doesn't want your average, ordinary, run-of-the-mill indifference. Not in anything you do. God wants your best. I often wonder why Christians are the ones who look so downhearted and dismal and so lacking joy. We serve a God of greatness, a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God who runs all of creation. That alone is enough to make us joyful. God seeks worshipers who bow down in spirit and truth. Worship is not limited to a formal ritual. It can happen anywhere. When we pray, when we read sacred word, when we go about our daily lives, the way we treat our neighbors, we seek God's presence. We praise God's name. Even if you just whisper Jesus, you can be assured that whatever your needs, your problems, God understands and He is with you. That is why He came. Not to condemn us, but to save us. Can you hear him? Come to me, he says, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus wants us to learn how to live as new creations. That's what this birth story is all about. That's what this season is all about. And if you read the Bible carefully, you'll notice that language of birth throughout. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. If you want to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. The Apostle Paul wrote, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. And that's why we celebrate babies and gifts and lights. This season offers a fresh atmosphere, a sense of restored dreams, a renewed hope. And sometimes we have to struggle to that hope, but God is our hope. Not man, not ideas, not politicians, not movements, but God. The journey has never been easy, and it never will. We stumble, and we struggle, and we fall. But God is a God of second chances and new beginnings. Yes, it is the call of the season. Not the words of a baby, but the words of the one who has been to the cross. Jesus says, I'm coming soon. And we respond, come, Lord Jesus, come. And I think of Revelation, and you probably think of Revelation as judgment, but really, it's a promise that God is going to make right what is wrong in the world. And that can only give us comfort. That can only give us joy. God is going to bring justice and fairness and wholeness to the world. You know, Martin Luther King always reminded us that the universe arcs toward justice. And in living in these deeply divided and polarizing times, we can forget that because the notion of justice may seem impossible. But think about Jesus. And remember, He can make it right, not just in glory, but right now. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come into our lives. Come into our relationships. Come into our 24/7 getting through. And we'll give you all the glory and all the praise. Thanks for joining me. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign if you let